Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that through your Spirit you would speak in your word into our hearts today that we may live for you. Amen. Please keep the passage open in front of you. It will help you to follow along. And if it's your habit to take notes, an outline should have been provided for you at the door. And I've found you can discover pens in the front if you need them. Also, keep in mind that Craig has volunteered to answer all the questions that you might have. But you'll need to put them in your response form, as we will not be having question time at the end of the talk. But let us start. I have a question for you. How much should you forgive? How often should you forgive your brother or sister? As we learnt last week, Jesus taught his disciples how to resolve things when your brother or sister has sinned against you. We should go to them first, then we should bring one or two witnesses, and then we should go to the church if they don't listen. But Peter's asked the question that's on all of our minds. How many times should I forgive my brother? You can see how he gets there on this one, can't you? I should forgive them a bit, but at some point I've got to act. I've got to bring them before a witness. How many times before I do that? How many times should I forgive them? Now, as a person with four sisters, this is a question on their mind constantly. And I'm sure that it is a question that is on your mind as well. How many times should I forgive someone? Well, what should I do if they... What if someone lies to me? Well, I should forgive them. But what if it keeps happening? What if it's a habit? Or what if it was a really big lie about something important? Or what if they stole something from me, my favourite book? Well, I should forgive them. But what if it keeps happening? What if they take all of my possessions slowly over the years? Or what if they take something really big and important? What if they take money or my TV or whatever it might be? Should I forgive them then? Or what if they accidentally insult me? Well, I should forgive them. But what if it becomes a habit? What if they keep on insulting me? What if they did it maliciously? They intended to insult me. Should I forgive them then? I think that we find it really hard to forgive others when it costs us something, costs us personally. And so we get to this question, and Peter asks, how many times should I forgive my brother? Let's read from verses 21 to 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Peter makes a guess. We should forgive our brother seven times. Some of you might think that that's a lot. Some of you might think that that's not many at all. But he goes in with an expectation, and it's blown out of water because it's in comparison with Jesus' answer. Jesus says not seven, but 77. He goes in with an expectation like this much, and Jesus says, no, this much. You need to forgive your brother and sister this much. And the point isn't the number. The point is the bigness, the hugeness of the forgiveness, so much more than what Peter expected. But Jesus has answered the question in a rather straightforward manner. So how does this work with last week? Because I thought we were supposed to bring them before a witness. Well, yes, but remember the purpose of why we were bringing them before a witness. Right at the start of that passage, it said, you do all of this to gain your brother or sister. You want them to turn away from sin, and it is for their sake that you lovingly and humbly point out their sin. But that's still an awful lot of forgiveness for others. Why? Why should I forgive my brother or sister so much? Why, Jesus, should I forgive them that many times? Why? Well, God forgives us. Let's read 23 to 27. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his children and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. This is a story of someone who is forgiven a lot. There is a king who is settling accounts with his servants. So he is in the position of power, and he's settling. He's owed some money, and he's settling it with his servants. And one guy owes him so much, 10,000 talents. Again, I don't think the number's important, just the hugeness of the debt. It's unpayable. It is an unpayable amount. So much money that you can even see what it's worth here. To pay back this debt, he loses everything. He loses his wife, his children, his home, all of his possessions, all that he has is sold. That's a really terrible thing to happen. Verse 25, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. His wife, gone. Children, gone. Home, gone. Possessions, gone. He's going to own nothing. And so he does the only thing that he can do. He goes and he asks for mercy. He begs for mercy. He asks for more time so that he can pay back this debt. I think it's doubtful that he would be able to pay back this debt. But here is the absolute mercy of the king. He doesn't just give him back more time, but he forgives the debt. He cancels the debt. He forgives the debt. The whole of it. He forgives it. And the servant is free. He's released in verse 27. This means that the king has paid for the debt. He is accepting the loss and he is okay with it. He's taking that penalty on himself. All the money that he is owed, it's okay. He's forgiven the debt. He's cancelled it. Who would do that? Who is this king? Not a rhetorical question. God. Yes, God. So then perhaps the more important question then is, who is the servant? Yeah. In this story, we are the servant. I am the servant. You are the servant. We are the servant. And the problem is that we owe God an awful lot. And it's not money. No, our debt is so much worse than that. But just like the servant in the passage, we are in so much debt that we deserve to pay with all that we have. We deserve to lose our lives. That is how we pay the debt. And just to be clear here, the debt that I'm referring to is sin. For the wages of sin are death. It's Romans 6. But the king, God, he hasn't just postponed our punishment, his collection of the debt. He has given us mercy. He has freed us, and he takes that penalty of the debt on himself, on Jesus. Jesus pays our debt through his death that we rightly deserve to die, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. If you are here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, if you are here today and you do not believe in Jesus, please reconsider. The debt that you owe is unpayable. There is nothing you can give, no good work you can do.